Big city gets smaller.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining me as Marketplace covers the financial crisis fallout. There was a big meeting this morning at Citigroup, town hall style. The bank's CEO delivered some bad news. Citigroup will eliminate tens of thousands of jobs. And that might not be enough to get the bank back in the black. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Citigroup CEO Vikram Pandit told employees that about 50,000 jobs would be lost. As of September, the company had about 350,000 employees worldwide. The bank also hopes to reduce expenditures by 16% to 19% next year. Citigroup has been stunned by risky assets and bad loans. Last year, the company lost $20 billion. Christopher Whalen at Institutional Risk Analytics says Citigroup's troubles predate the financial crisis.
They have always had a higher expense profile than their larger peers, and they've always had higher loss rates. In other words, the write-offs that they have to take on their credit card and their consumer loan portfolios have typically been higher than their peers.
Whalen says the job cuts announced today will help, but the company won't recover until the second half of next year. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Besides Citigroup, the other big story this week will be the car makers. Senate Democrats plan to introduce a bailout bill today, and a vote could come by Wednesday. Wall Street is clearly anxious. More losses this morning. The Dow is down almost 2%, 146 points to 8350. The NASDAQ is down 18, and the S&P 500 has fallen 13. In Europe, shares are down 1 to 2% so far. Asia, the markets finished mixed. Also today, the Senate holds a hearing on the nomination of Neil Barofsky. He would oversee the $700 billion rescue package. He'd have about 100 people working for him and have his work cut out. Marketplace's Steve Henn explains.
Since the bailout bill was signed into law, the Treasury Department's invested more than $210 billion in banks and insurance companies. It's done all this with almost no oversight. That's created many opportunities for mischief, says Republican Senator Charles Grassley, the ranking member of the Financial Services Committee.
Most of it is corporate executives too stupid to realize that they're caretakers of taxpayers' money.
AIG executives, for example, recently went on a hunting retreat in Europe.
And in a sense, thumbing their nose at the taxpayers.
Grassley says appointing Neil Barofsky to police the program should remind these executives who they're working for. Right now, Barofsky's a prosecutor in New York specializing in securities fraud. Grassley says the painful experience of Iraqi reconstruction taught Congress that it's crucial to get an inspector general's office up and running fast. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
The top executives at Goldman Sachs have decided to forego their bonuses this year. They're giving up potentially tens of millions of dollars. They'll only be eligible for their base salaries, about 600 grand. A spokesman says the executives felt it was the right thing to do.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
I filled up my gas tank yesterday, and when the pump stopped, I thought it was a mistake. It was so cheap. The national average is now $2.10, and 16 states have gas under $2. But my friend Alan Sloan says now is the time for a gas tax.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
All right, Alan, make your argument. Why should we have a gas tax now?
Because if we're going to get people to buy fuel-efficient or alternate energy cars, you don't do it when gas prices start at $2, run to $4, and by the time, say, General Motors, if any of this happens in Washington, comes out with its magic green vehicle the government's going to offer it to make, it may well be that no one's going to want to buy them again.
Do you really think that people will go back to their gas-guzzling ways, considering what else is going on in this economy?
Yeah, I think they will. And the reason I think that is I remember, I'm so old, Scott, I remember 73, 74 when oil went from, I think, $2 a barrel to like 20 or 30, and everyone said it was the end of the world, and we've learned something from it. And everything reverted as soon as oil prices went down. And it's going to happen here, too. People will absolutely go back to their gas-guzzling ways if the price of gas stays at $2 or goes even lower. Of course they will. And we'll be at the mercy of events all over again. And I don't think that's any way to run a country.
And what happens if oil and gas go back to the levels they were in July, and then the tax is added on top of that?
People survived more or less at four. And if there's a problem caused by this, you know, for people who can't pay, you'll give them their gas tax back in some form or other. I'd rather we paid this tax to ourselves than we paid it to Saudi Arabia or Russia or Venezuela.
And how do you think this would benefit, if it would, the American car makers?
Well, if these companies are still alive and we got rid of these what I consider idiotic rules about average fuel economy, where we mandate that the average of mileage of the auto fleet has to be this or that, and then we say SUVs are really trucks, so they're not included. Mm-hmm. If you're running a U.S. car company, you go mad with this. If you say, here's the market, go serve it, that's a lot easier. Let these guys make the cars they think they can sell. And if there are high, if gasoline prices are high enough, the socially conscious among us will be happy. The consumers will buy this. It's a lot better than being at the mercy of events, which is what our energy policy has consisted of.
It's an interesting topic, Alan. Thanks for your input. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine.
My pleasure.
And I'm guessing you might have an opinion about this one way or the other. Feel free to share it with us online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.